Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
All right, welcome into Redacted on this Wednesday. So glad to see all of you. We've got a very busy show for you tonight. We're going to be talking about a number of big stories, but first I want to tell you about our website and a place to go to sign up for a daily newsletter. So go to redacted.inc. That's the place to go. Redacted.inc. And here's what it looks like. So a little website will pop up. You click on the left side of your screen and you click the newsletter button. Okay, make sure you click that newsletter button right there. Sign up for our free newsletter. Put in your email address, and then you're going to receive a welcome email. You must verify this welcome email, otherwise you won't get the newsletter tomorrow. Although tomorrow we're off for Thanksgiving. But anyway, you click the click the verify. You can welcome to the rebellion, become a redacted rebel. It's totally free, and then you'll receive the welcome email. You'll receive the daily newsletter Monday through Friday. Here's what it looks like. You'll get some great news, some great content. We cover about five or six big stories. We try to make you laugh a little bit. And you can read it over your cup of coffee in like 5-10 minutes. We try to have a little fun in our newsletter every day. Yes, we do indeed.
All right. So today is the last live stream for the week because we are taking off Thanksgiving. And we will not have a newsletter tomorrow. We will be back on Monday. Monday through Thursday is when we're here at 4 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Western European time. So count back wherever you are or forward. We're so glad you joined us tonight. We have a lot of news to get to.
All right, let's get into our top story, shall we? So let's talk about the big news of the day. So just, you know, breaking news just a short time ago, before we came on the air from the Washington Post. Now, again, this is Jeff Bezos's Washington Post, okay, reporting that for the very first time, vaccinated people make up a majority of COVID deaths. This is the Washington Post headline. Just a short time ago, vaccinated people now make up a majority of COVID deaths. That is the headline. And so I want to go a little deeper into this, which is a bombshell story.
Yes, it is, but it's an analysis of data. They are just, under normal circumstances, they might post this as a bombshell story. But for the most part, it's just, here's the data, guys. We'll see how much the mainstream media
picks
up with it.
Yeah, it's the data, though. It's important to tell us where the data came from. It came from the CDC.
Right.
So the data came from the CDC that the Washington Post covered. Okay, so let's go through what the Washington Post says about the CDC data. For the first time, it says, a majority of Americans dying from the coronavirus received at least the primary series of the vaccine. 58% of coronavirus deaths in August were people who were vaccinated or boosted. Now, this is from August's data. This is not even September yet. According to an analysis conducted for the Health 202 by Cynthia Cox, vice president of the Kaiser Family Foundation, it's a continuation of a troubling trend that has emerged over the past year. As vaccination rates increased and new variants appeared, the share of deaths of people who were vaccinated has been steadily rising. In September 21, vaccinated people made up just 23% of coronavirus fatalities. In January and February this year, it was up to 42%. That was January, February. Per our colleagues, Finette Narapil and Dan Keating, we can no longer say, they say, this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
You hear that, politicians?
We can no longer say this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. From the Washington Post, quoting this analysis from the CDC. Here is the CDC data. You can look for it yourself. The Washington Post links right to it. Rates of COVID-19 cases or deaths by age group and vaccination status and booster dosage. So you can dive right into it and see it. Now, we should, of course, point out that the very last paragraph of this Washington Post story, you couldn't let us off easy, right? With just like the straight facts. You have to add in this part at the end here. Here's this quote on boosters. Being unvaccinated is still a major risk factor for dying from COVID-19. But efficacy wanes over time. And an analysis of last week from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention highlights the need to get regular booster shots to keep one's risks of death from the coronavirus low, especially for the elderly. So that's from the Center for Disease Control. Make sure you're still getting your booster shots, says the CDC.
I don't understand how they work that out from the data. If they're telling us that more vaccinated people are dying, why this paragraph makes no sense.
Yeah, that paragraph frustrated me.
How can we?
Go ahead.
Yeah, because it's like the vaccinations are, you know, more people are dying from that, but more people are at risk without it. Like,
right.
It's like you're saying the complete opposite thing.
But they are not giving us really the risk. We don't know because we have no COVID. We have no trials, especially for the booster that's out right now. That they to say something like this, you should be able to quantify it and say we know that this booster reduces your risk of transmission or pathological COVID or hospitalization. But they can't because they only tested it on 8 mice and said sometime in December they would get around to human trials. So how, I ask you, can they say this when they just presented us with data showing the exact opposite thing?
It's a great question. It really is a great question. And, you know, so if you can't answer those questions, you try to cover for the main, you try to cover for these groups, right? And so the Atlantic came right out with a nice article saying, and the good stooge that they are, the Atlantic magazine. I've seen a lot of garbage coverage from the Atlantic magazine over the past couple of years. They really are the worst. And here's their tweet just a few minutes ago. Paxlovid, the antiviral drug, has been widely available since last spring. Yet the number of COVID deaths per day in the U.S. hasn't budged. One problem, writes Rachel Gutman, is that people aren't taking it. Who are these anti-paxers?
Oh, that's a clever new one, The Atlantic. I bet you were proud of yourself for
Who's
that.
Are you guys an anti-paxer? You won't take Paxlovid?
Yeah,
that means you're anti-paxer. Anti-paxer. So
okay.
you won't take it. You're an anti-paxer now. Okay. So Dr. Fauci, though, you know, as he was leaving, he had a good message. He had a good message to tell all of us about what we should do. This was his final message to all of you before Thanksgiving and around the world. Like, just pay attention to Dr. Fauci. Here's what he had to say. I'm sure he's privy to this data, right? It's been there. He has access to this data. So here's what he had to say at the podium. Watch.
So my message and my final message, maybe the final message I give you from this podium, is that please, for your own safety, for that of your family, get your updated COVID-19 shot as soon as you're eligible to protect yourself, your family, and your community. I urge you to visit vaccines.gov to find a location where you can easily get an updated vaccine. And please do it as soon as possible. Thank you.
Yesterday, and so, I mean, this is a big week for Dr. Fauci. Yesterday, he gave his final COVID press conference, and then this morning, he was sworn in for a deposition as part of a lawsuit alleging that he colluded with big tech companies during the pandemic. There's a number of players in that lawsuit, right, to what their collusion was like. And what was the heart of the collusion piece of this? Like, were they conspiring with big tech to censor content to make sure that if they saw things that they didn't like about, you know, masks, or they would censor that content?
Well, beyond that, yes. Did they also, you know, get a pass for any kind of critical look at vaccine trials?
Right.
You know, what was, and we saw Fauci sort of going after any doctors who wanted to speak out about this and asking tech companies to, you know, make those doctors' lives miserable. We've seen several doctors deplatformed for just speaking about their own data and their own research. So how much of a hand did he and the U.S. government have in this, in censorship of information that was the global population needed?
8 o'clock this morning, Dr. Fauci was sworn in for that deposition to give his testimony. So we're going to be watching very closely, like, what that testimony, has to say over the next couple of, we're going to see as this starts to unpack what we're allowed to know from this deposition. Go ahead, David.
I was going to say really quickly, like, there were doctors on board with Fauci at the beginning that came in with data, with like hard numbers, and they were removed from that committee. Like, it's like, we don't want your data. So that was kind of frustrating to see that happen, that he became, you know, he never saw a single patient that we know of, that we've never heard anything. And these doctors were, and they had like hard data, and they were like, here's what we need to do. And they're like, oh no, you're out.
Yeah.
Yesterday he was asked at the podium, does he have anything to hide? Do you have anything to hide? And you know, like, you're going to, anything you would like to say in front of a congressional testimony, anything that you're afraid you would, that you would say in front of that congressional testimony, anything to hide? Here's what he had to say.
There are oversight hearings. I absolutely will cooperate fully and testify before the Congress have asked. You may not know, but I've testified before the Congress a few hundred times, okay, over the last 40 years or so. So I have no trouble testifying. We can defend and explain and stand by everything that we've said. So I have nothing to hide.
Yeah. But then a reporter tried to ask a separate follow-up question of Dr. Fauci, a reporter from Africa, tried to ask him about the origins of COVID, about, you know, like funding of that. Who was responsible for the origins of COVID and the funding of that? What did he know about this? And then this unbelievable moment happened at the White House. Watch.
Dr. Fauci, only 13% of...
Hold on one second. We have a process here. I'm not calling out on people who yell. And you're being disrespectful to your colleagues, and you're being disrespectful to our guests. I will not call on you if you yell. And also, you're taking time off the clock, because Dr. Fauci has to leave in a couple of minutes. I'm done. I'm not getting into a back and forth with you. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Who was yelling?
Only
30. You ask your question. You should allow her to ask some
questions. Jeremy, it is not your turn. It is not your turn.
You can't be a press briefing. You need to call from people across the room. She has a valid question. She's asking about the origin of COVID.
I hear the question.
Dr. Fauci is the best person.
I hear your question, but we're not doing this the way you want it. This is a disrespectful. It is. I'm done. Simon, I'm done. I'm done with you right now. Go ahead. Go ahead. You're taking time away from your colleagues. Go ahead.
Only 13% of it.
I mean, everybody was yelling. First of all,
we will not tolerate questions. We will not tolerate questions on the virus origins because of what Dr. Fauci's involvement in gain-of-function research.
And, you know, it strikes me like this Kim Iverson story, how she walked away from the media outlet that she was in because they wouldn't let her face Fauci with tough questions.
Right.
And they said, oh, no, we only are going to give you the softball anchors. It definitely can't be Kim.
Right.
And they wouldn't even go back around to protect him. And they were like, he's got a heart out. So, I mean, he served the country as an infectious disease specialist during a pandemic and way before. I don't know where he has to go that's more important than like answering for his service.
He's got to go. He's leaving his job.
Like, he's got a heart out.
Like,
for what? MSNBC? Like, we deserve real questions, not like, will you show up at the depositions? That's nice. You know, are you taking a desk clock? What, you know?
So his only mission there at this podium that day, yesterday, was to tell the American people to take, you know, another bivalent booster, and, you know, which he claims was more, which was more effective against the latest strain of COVID. So, and he knows that there's only 13% of the country that's where the population has taken this booster. So was that his message? Like, I got to get this out here before Thanksgiving. You know, I got these biopharmaceutical companies right now riding my back. Yeah.
Yeah. Their profits must be slightly down a little bit. They must be just on a little slight down trajectory. So they're like, over the holidays, we really got to push this message, because I've seen it everywhere this past week on Twitter and everything.
Oh, I have seen the advertisements. I was watching an NFL game this past weekend, and there were like Pfizer ads, like during the NFL games. Like, so they have the millions of dollars to spend on these ads on during the middle of NFL football games.
Yeah.
To get you to take these drugs. You know, take the Paxlovid, take it, right? That's what, if you feel COVID coming on, you're getting a little sore throat, get tested and then call up your physician and get information about this for your bivalent boosters. Yeah, that so that was Dr. Fauci, but I guess we haven't heard the last of him because he says he'll come back in front of Congress for any of these congressional hearings. And I can't wait to find out what information we'll get from the depositions through this lawsuit. So the Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt, along with the Louisiana Attorney General Jeff Landry, filed a lawsuit against the Biden administration, including Biden himself, Dr. Fauci, the Department of Homeland Security, and nearly a dozen federal agencies and secretaries. And of course, the suit alleges a massive coordinated effort by the deep state to work with big tech to censor and manipulate Americans around this. So Jim Hoff from the Gateway Pundit is there as well. And of course, we're waiting. He said he got sworn in, so I can't wait to see.
That Jen Psaki had filed her deposition saying she should not be deposed.
Right.
Because she's very busy and she has a family life and she can't properly prepare for this.
Yeah, she said she had a new MSNBC show.
Well, she didn't really say that in the filing, but she just said she's very busy in the news and she has a family, and being deposed would be, she used the word unduly burdensome, although a deposition is unduly burdensome on everybody. That right. is kind of the scare tactic that lawyers use.
Well, and if she got convicted, was she going to be like, oh, I'm sorry, I just, there's no way I can go to jail right now. I've got kids, like, I just can't.
Not up for any kind of, she could, I mean... I don't think, is she personally named in the suit? I don't think she is. I'd have to look back. We did a segment on this about 2 weeks ago. She might be, actually. And she is also representing herself. So us, the taxpayers, are not representing her. I'm sorry I don't remember, but I think what they would want from her, if they win, would either be some kind of apology or some kind of... I mean, I don't think they would get money from her. She wouldn't get punished with jail time or anything like that. But she might have to, like, stop doing what she's doing. They could get some kind of stay or public apology. I would be listening.
At the very least, yeah. I'd like to see her wear an ankle bracelet, you know.
That's not what this is. This is not what this is.
It's not, so. your ankle bracelet fetish is going to have to wait. Yeah. I know you've got a thing for ankle bracelets. You have to wait on that.
Yeah,
We've got more news to get to on the old broadcast today. Hey, is our signal looking okay now? Hopefully. I know we are good.
Happened. We overloaded the server. I was recording a different format today to lower the size of it, and it overloaded the server. So that was on me.
Okay. So that's good. So is that what also happened at the end of the show yesterday? Same thing?
No, that was internet.
Oh, okay. Mm. All right, good. Yesterday was my internet, our problem here in our studio. Today, David. Got it. Just want to be clear on that. I always like to give attribution. Hey, by the way, speaking of attribution, we're going to go on, but I wanted to give a shout out to last night. We featured a clip here from Thomas Binder, a doctor who was on with Taylor Hudak. She's a journalist. And unfortunately, the clip had no name at the bottom, and I didn't manage to give a shout out to Taylor, who's an independent journalist at thelastamericanvagabond.com, does great work. And so this clip we featured last night from Dr. Thomas Binder. And anyway, I just wanted to give a shout out to other independent journalists who are doing great work. She's a contributor to the Children's Health Defense as well, which is, you know, keep your hands off our children. Also a free speech advocate and doing some great journalism. So Taylor, thank you for continued work. Thank you for the shout out and the kind words about our show. And everyone should follow Taylor on Twitter as well, and the journalism there. All right, we got more news to get to here on your Wednesday night pre-Thanksgiving.
All right, but first we want to tell you about our friends over at Audible. Now, if you have some time off this Thanksgiving, maybe you want to download a book, and especially while you're doing your chores. Okay, Clayton wants me to scooch. As I say to the kids, scooch magooch. All right. You don't ride an elevator for the music or pick an airline for their movie. So when it comes to audio entertainment, it makes sense to choose what it is that you want to listen to. Audible is the home for stories told by the biggest stars like Ethan Hawke, Kerry Washington, and Kevin Hart. It's home to epic adventures, chilling mysteries, and can't-miss comedies. Audible is the home of storytelling. So let your imagination soar with audiobooks, podcasts, podcasts and originals. Audible has an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre, from bestsellers and new releases to celebrity memoirs, mysteries and thrillers, motivation, wellness, business, and more. And as an Audible member, you can choose one title per month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. In fact, next week I'm going on a road trip with my son, and I asked Clayton to get us the second in the City of Ghosts series, which is a great, like, for middle graders and tweens. Really amazing series about a little girl who has, like, her best friend is a ghost. It's super fun, and he loves it. And I love that, sharing books with my children when we're doing chores or on road trips. Clayton and I are also both listening to Michael Schellenberger's great book called Apocalypse Never. We're kind of racing each other to the end. Every day Clayton comes back from his walk and he's like, did you get to the part about this? It's a crazy book, really well told, and I recommend that you read it in whatever format, but Audible is a great one for you, especially if you're someone who's on the go or has a long list of things to do and you have opportunity to listen to things. So right now, let Audible help you discover new ways to laugh, be inspired, or be entertained. New members can try it for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/invest that or text invest to 500-500. That's audible.com/invest or text invest to 500-500 to try Audible for free. Oh, we do have a code. Okay. This was written in our document. I'm sorry. It's redacted. Our code is redacted, the name of our show. Go to audible.com/redacted or text redacted to 500-500. That's audible.com/redacted.
Okay, so it's redacted is
you
the code.
You forgot a celebrity. One of my, like, celebrity that I like on there is Clayton Morris. You forgot him. He's on there.
Yes. He narrates our book about how to pay off your mortgage in 5 years or less.
So let me just give the code again because we got a little. So it's audible.com/redacted, and there's no dot in between the 500. So it's audible.com/redacted, and text the word redacted to 500-500. Got it.
All okay. Right,
there we go. All right. We've got more news to get to on this Wednesday. And someone said, I have a nice deep bass in my voice.
Mm-hmm. Well,
thank you. I do. Thank you. Oh, yeah.
You got a radio voice.
I do. We've got more news to get to on this Wednesday. We're going to talk about the WHO treaty, the World Health Organization treaty, plus Elon Musk discovering something in the closet at Twitter, which is pretty amazing. We'll get there. And if you subscribe to the channel, your name will pop right up here. We got a new rebel that just joined the Redacted Rebellion. That's GBRS Jones 11. So thank you for subscribing to the channel.
All right. Well, over the weekend, a mass shooting in Colorado was deemed a hate crime against LGBTQ people because it took place as an LGBT club. Five people died before the shooter could be wrestled to the ground where he was beaten up by a patron. Here is how the mainstream media blamed the right for anti-LGBTQ rhetoric. This is a montage put together expertly, I think, by Fox News.
All of this is not an isolated incident. It is actually a pandemic, and those who are spreading it are the ones who are, you know, creating policies that vilify people because they want to go through a procedure around their sexual identity, because they want to talk about who they love.
This is what rhetoric brings. This words matter. Words matter. And people like Lauren Boebert, who, you know, has been in the forefront of dissing LGBTQ plus people, is now saying her prayers and thoughts go with the families. Well, they don't really need your prayers and thoughts. They needed your votes.
The far right wing conservatives sort of got over CRT or critical race theory. They needed a new boogeyman, and they leapt on LGBTQ community members, specifically trans people, their doctors, their caregivers. Since April, we've also seen a one-to-one correlation with violence, harassment, assaults, real-world violence in this community.
Now, in recent months, drag events, particularly all-ages events like that, like brunches, story hours at public libraries, have become a point of obsession for right-wing forces seeking to demonize LGBTQ folks. Earlier this year, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis infamously signed into law what critics have called the Don't Say Gay Bill, which prevents some teachers from even discussing the existence of gay and trans folks. And again, to be clear, no one is responsible for this weekend's horrific attack but the shooter himself. But as one Colorado state legislator reminded my colleague Katie Turr, it happened within the context of this anti-LGBTQ hysteria.
As election nears, some conservative groups have ramped up anti-trans campaign ads. Far-right figures appear to be testing Twitter's boundaries for anti-LGBTQ speech. I think we have to have a come-to-Jesus moment here. As reporters, are we more afraid of being on Breitbart for saying that trans people deserve to be alive? Or are we more afraid of the dead people? Because I'm more afraid of the dead people.
Okay. You know, that one-to-one bit where the reporter says that, like, I don't even understand it. She has no data. It's like every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings. Like, anytime you say something critical of gender theory, someone gets hurt. There's no data for that. And so I don't know what she's even saying there, but it's easy to say it with a narcissistic sort of authority as if it's true. And by doing so, then you can ignore the fact that there actually are harmful things being done with pharmaceuticals to children who cannot consent to it at this age. So, okay. But so the wrench in this story came in on Tuesday when the accused shooter filed a demand for a preliminary hearing, and the filing shows that the shooter is a non-binary person. So here's the filing. You can see it refers to this person as Mix Anderson Aldrich. And then the footnote at the bottom says Anderson Aldrich is non-binary. They use they, them pronouns. And for the purposes of all formal filings, he will be addressed as Mix Aldrich. So some questions. Does that blow up the words matter rhetoric from Whoopi? Do words matter against this shooter then? Now, on Monday, when this story was sort of presented as the media was all over this story as like, this is the biggest shooting of the weekend, even though there were other shootings.
Yeah, there are plenty of multiple mass shootings over the weekend, but the media zeroed in on this story.
And Clayton and I, we had our editorial meeting and he was like, I really want to, you know, I think it's worth looking at how they're fixating on this one in order to prove a point that is their pre-existing narrative that anyone who's critical of race theory is hateful and responsible for this. And I was not that keen on doing this because I didn't think that that story would play out yet until now. And I felt like all we had to do was wait.
Just wait.
Because now, absolutely, there is a reason to eat all of those words that we just showed you. Because the story then was not necessarily about gender. It was about so many things. And now, again, the story is about discrimination, but it's about discrimination against Mixer Anderson.
Mixer Anderson.
Get it? Because The Matrix is a trans anthem.
Yeah.
And his last name is Anderson.
I see.
So I don't think I'm supposed to say Mixer, but I just couldn't help myself because every time I say Mix Anderson, I hear Mixer Anderson. Yeah. Right? Okay, I won't play with that any longer.
I've seen the defense on Twitter of people saying that, of course, they're going to say they identify as non-binary to try to lessen their charges or whatever. Like,
well, we are going to talk
to make the. Oh, okay.
Yeah, we are going to talk about whether or not that is a defense. But I think this tweet sums up how people who want to scream about gender ideology and call other people bigots.
Accused shooter,
not that yet.
Aldrich say
not that yet. Hang on.
Just the tweet.
The tweet. Do you have the tweet from Pumpkin Pie Pagliacci?
Yeah, I saw it in preview.
This one.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that this tweet really sums up this, the way that these leftists have mopped themselves into a corner. She says, so the Colorado Club shooter identifies as non-binary. Activists are now in, you say the word.
Well, it's a German word, Zugzwang. Americans would say it like English, Zugzwang.
Zugzwang.
Or Zugzwang, which is
Talk about it in a second.
Oh, okay.
So here are the two options. Either validate the shooter's identity and stop blaming those critical of gender ideology, or reject the shooter's identity and admit that evil men can easily falsify special identities to get legal leniency. Amazing. So what does she mean by Zugzwang?
So Zugzwang is it's a chess term. It means that it's your turn. it's your turn to move the chess pieces, right? But you have no good moves left. Like, so you have, you either going to get die over here, you're going to lose your queen, or you're going to lose your bishop or something. It's just, you have a few moves left and they're all awful.
So from my preliminary Googling, it seems that not only are all your moves bad, but all your moves will make your life worse.
Worse, right.
Right. And so you see the contradiction here. They can't say it was a hate crime if Mix was of this identity. They can't point out that this group may have, you know, some danger inside of it and maybe should not be allowed into women's locker rooms. If they question Mix gender identity, then it blows up completely hashtag no debate. We've talked many times about hashtag no debate is essential to trans activists. It's like a diaphragm. You cannot poke holes in it. The narrative is believe whoever claims gender dysphoria, ask no questions, do not debate, except apparently if the person may be odious. So of the two bad options here, the Zugzwang, it seems that the door that they are choosing just in the last 12 hours since this news broke is to misgender Mix Anderson. I guess the hashtag would be do debate, watch CNN misgender the heck out of this person.
Attorneys for the accused shooter, Anderson Lee Aldrich, say in new court filings tonight that the suspect now identifies as non-binary. In a footnote to a motion asserting legal privileges, the public defenders say, quote, Anderson Aldrich is non-binary. They use they-them pronouns, and for the purposes of all formal filings, will be addressed as Mix Aldrich. So in other words, not Mr. or Ms. Joining me now, CNN political commentator Errol Lewis, also back with me, Al Franken and Joe Walsh. I don't know what to say about that. I mean, that's not anything that we had heard from his background. You know, people have been looking into his background, and I don't know if anybody here, are you guys lawyers? I mean, you know, I don't know if, I don't know what to say about that. I mean, that's what he's now saying.
It sounds like they're trying to prepare a defense against a hate crimes charge. That's the least of his problems, legally speaking, but it looks like they're trying to build some kind of sympathy or at least confusion on the question of whether or not this was purely motivated by hate.
Such a, I mean, that is what it sounds like.
Okay.
So they kept calling him he.
So CNN can no longer tell us that misgendering people is a crime because they just mopped the floor with the wrong pronouns. It was like if you had taken a shot every time they used he, which apparently you can do this when it fits your narrative. Check out these replies to Pete Buttigieg today. David sent me this tweet from Pete Buttigieg, which was kind of perplexing. He said that people who set up the LGBTQ plus community to be hated and feared just bring on this kind of violence. And here are the responses is like, this guy's just saying this. This guy is just saying this to get out of a hate crime. Suspect claims to be non-binary. If you were a Martian, would you run that headline? Does he? I'll take avoiding hate crimes for 500. Attorney is saying that just to get a lien. All of this is denial, denial, denial. No, that's you're not a transgender person, or you are not non-binary. Absolutely not. Everyone else who says it, well, I guess once you shoot, you sort of give up your right for any gender identity, but that doesn't jive because we let people in prisons change their pronouns all the time. In Canada, that's gone up since 2017 when Justin Trudeau decided that he would let anyone in prison be in any facility that they identified as. So those people who had done violent crimes as well, a lot of them sexual, are able to identify into a different gender. Yeah, so, in fact, we just showed you a couple of weeks ago this investigation in Scottish prisons. Half of Scottish prisoners have changed their gender after after their conviction. And so it has already been happening that people can do use this to change their relationship with the justice system. And we already know this.
Well, and wouldn't you, I mean, look, if you're going to go, if you have the choice, if you do something, you know, you do something violent, whatever, and you're going to go to a violent, like the worst prison, right? And you're a dude and you can go to an awful prison where you're going to get the crap beat out of you on a regular basis by, you know, huge men that are weightlifting all day, right? Or you can go to a woman's prison and all you need to do is just say, hey, I'm a woman now. right? And I mean, what guy is going to choose to go and get beat up on a regular basis at the men's prison? Right. This is what. Oh, I can just change it. Oh, we have to honor his request.
Well, and actually, there's a lot of research about this in Helen Joyce's book, Trans. The labor is different. And a lot of these places, especially in Scotland where she lives, or maybe it's Ireland. I believe it's Scotland. Some of these places are for babies and mommies. And so apparently we didn't care at all about protecting, you know, people from changing identity or using it to their advantage. If it was prisoners that were being harmed, especially female prisoners, we have no interest in protecting them. But now we care if it harms talking points.
Right, right.
Well, and like, think of, this makes me think of Chloe Cole. Like, I've been seeing her, like, she was somebody who was in that community, praised by that community when she was going through her transition. And they were like, we support you, we support you, we support you. Then when she had, you know, realized that she wasn't going in the right direction and she wanted to detransition, now all they do is attack her. And it's like that community just cannot handle any adverse, like, thinking out there towards their agenda.
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about the word community, because you're speaking for other people, and it becomes this weaponized way to speak for other people and tell people what they can't say. I want to put a pin in that, like, how I think about the term community, because it feels, I don't know. It feels like a bomb.
Martin says, yeah, it's called prison with benefits, Clayton.
Okay. I mean, I could give you all kinds of narratives about women actually getting hurt by this happening, and I'm choosing not to right now because of the censorship that abounds on these platforms. But again, I'm going to tell you to read Helen Joyce's fantastic book called Trans. It's really upsetting, but we need to look at this. The woman who posted the tweet earlier, it was Pumpkin Pie Paglassi. She runs a website called Redux, where she actually regularly covers when women get hurt by this ideology, like in real ways, in things that I can't show you. So back to my point about the narrative whiplash. If you look at the media dogpile Tucker Carlson for saying the other day that this is not necessarily an LGBTQ
hate crime. Right.
And they were all over him. And now that same group is saying this wasn't about gender. Let's shift to gun control. It was about gun control. It was about toxic masculinity. It was about all these other things now that we can talk about. And, unfortunately, the media has another mass shooting event from a Walmart in, I believe it was Delaware, to just sort of switch away from this. But I think that you should be held accountable for calling people hateful.
Yeah, Virginia.
And then,
and the media already moved past that story, by the way, like the Virginia story, the Walmart. They're like, oh, I move on to the next story.
Yeah. Is there anything there that we can glob onto? No,
but they'll stay. Oh, it was just the manager of the Walmart. Okay. Next story, please. Let's just move on. Oh, you mean there's no LGBT angle to the story that we can talk about and then blame like Tucker Carlson for? Oh, sorry. But no, they've already moved on about that.
But this is a hard lesson, is that you cannot
pull race and gender into it.
Right. Right. You're right. Or age. This is a hard lesson that you can't reduce any of these to any one narrative that works in your favor. That's wrong. Obviously, this is not a story just about gender or sexuality. It almost barely is. This person was disturbed and the recipient of online bullying. We know at least that much. They were also fatherless, which is sadly a common denominator in all mass shooter perpetrators. Yeah.
Shouldn't we fix that maybe? Like trouble with the family?
Let's take a look at this person's experience of having a father, according to the CBS affiliate in Los Angeles, that minor wishes to protect. This is the petition in which the person changed their name. It said minor wishes to protect himself and his future from any connection to birth father and his criminal history. Father has had no contact with minor for several years. The suspect's father is a mixed martial arts fighter and this kind of performer with an extensive criminal history, including convictions for battery against the alleged shooter's mother, Laura Vopel, both before and after the suspect was born, state and federal records show. 2002 misdemeanor battery conviction in California resulted in a protective order order that initially barred the father from contacting the suspect or the mother, except through an attorney, but was later modified to allow monitored visits with the child. The father was also sentenced to 2.5 years in custody for importation of marijuana, and while on supervised release, violated his conditions by testing positive for illegal steroids, according to public records. Now, I know it's not convenient to turn this into a talking point that people without fathers actually are more predisposed to depression, poor health, lower grades, and criminal behavior. It's absolutely true. And I think that what's shocking about that is that people like me who get pregnant and read all the baby books, and all the baby books say, make sure the father's involved. It really will help. It makes a difference in their life outcome. Be the concierge of your child's relationship with the father. Try to do every, you know, unless it's abusive relationship, try and keep the father in that, because they know the psychology is in that keeping a father around actually does seem to prevent this, and it is a common denominator to mass shooters.
That. And instead, Hollywood is really, and no offense to anyone who's then gone through an abusive marriage and then has gotten divorced and is now a single parent, we're not talking about that, but now it's the glorification of single women empowerment. We don't need the fathers. We don't need the men. Single women, just get out of that house. Just take, get away from the men. We've seen it in Hollywood. We saw it in Wakanda Forever. I mean, we're seeing it in all kinds of Hollywood films lately. This is like the glorification of the single woman.
Yes. And so, you know, if you want to have a discussion about root causes, I don't think LGBT is where we start here. But, you know, again, there was an instance last year when Anderson threatened their own mother's house with a bomb, but was not prosecuted. So, again, the argument will be raised, why the automatic rifle in their possession? And then about that hate crime, I just wanted to bring this back around. Would it actually go away if the shooter is, in fact, non-binary? Because in order to be charged with a hate crime, the prosecution has to prove that the shooter was motivated by bias, such as against the victim's actual or perceived sexual orientation or gender identity. So, are we allowed to discuss this as a legal tactic? As in, if this person was not non-binary, could a clever lawyer decide to use this as a tactic? I think that sounds so, so risky. And possibly it would put the lawyer, I think, in a position that would harm their career. I did look up the lawyer because she signed the document. She is the first woman to hold the position of state public defender in Colorado. I decided not to publish her name because I think she's going to get dogpiled anyway, and we don't need to know that. But I think that that is so, so risky, but it's funny that the left is like, that's what she's doing.
Go ahead, David.
Well, and I think it would be more risky if there's no proof that they were non-binary before this happened. You know what I mean? Like, if it's like there's no anybody that has ever seen them as non-binary before this, like if it's something they did just to get into court, like they'd be like, yeah, that kind of falls apart.
But no, why though? Why does it not fall apart for prisoners who change after conviction? They have no proof of using it.
No, I agree. But in a court of law, I'm saying like as far as like that being taken seriously,
I disagree. If there's precedence and if the narrative is believe the children or believe whoever identifies and you don't have the right to question anybody's pronouns or genders, then no, that's not true. Like, so I, you know, I'm interested in this debate and whether it sort of breaks up the rest of us from being able to debate. If you can debate one person, you should be able to debate them all. And so I'm interested to see how this will play out, and also just disgusted on anybody who wants to sort of harp on this for their one issue.
All right, we've got more news to get to here on this Wednesday night. We're going to talk about what's coming up here in a second. I need the rundown because I don't have my notes in front of me. Can you throw the rundown up on the screen?
I will just tell them that.
Oh, there we go.
So we are going to talk about the World Health Organization drafting a new pandemic treaty and telling us all exactly how they're going to get us to fall in line the next time we have a pandemic. Get ready for that. And Elon Musk pulls back the curtain or opens the closet at Twitter and reveals who gets punished on social media and who does not.
Now I want to open the kimono because I want to tell you about our friends over at Kamikoto. So this is amazing. We want to welcome a brand new sponsor to the show. You're gonna save $50 if you're looking for, if there's a chef in your life that loves to cook or you love to cook, this is going to be a game changer. You're going to save $50 with our special code right there on your screen. We'll tell you about that in just a moment. Now, we cook a lot in our house, and knives are incredibly important, especially sharp knives. For all manner of chopping. Natalie was getting all the Thanksgiving stuff today ready. She was chopping like crazy. And these knives are a game changer. They make all the difference. And I want to show you the best knife I've ever used. The Kamikoto is made using the highest quality Japanese steel from the world famous Honshu Island, using traditional techniques that Japan has been using for 800 years to make the best blades in the world. Each knife is handcrafted using a single bevel edge. Each knife is individually inspected and comes with a lifetime guarantee. Now, Kamikoto sought the counsel of Japanese blade experts. I almost picture like a samurai expert, you know, and multi-generational Japanese knife smithing families to create knives that would win the appreciation of the best chefs in the world. And now Kamikoto knives are used by Michelin star chefs all over the world. The knives come in this fantastic, take a look at this. Grim, if you want to take this shot here. So this is the Ashwood box, which makes a fantastic present here. It's unbelievable. And So here's the beautiful Ashwood box that it comes in. And you get to pick your set of knives right on the website. And you get that $50 off, depending on which set you pick. My son was playing with these earlier today. I'm like, son, those are the sharpest knives in the world. Please, please be careful.
I don't know if playing with them is the right word.
Well, no, but he was like, oh my gosh, these are amazing.
He was enthralled with them.
Yes, yes. And they are so fantastic.
I think I'm going to be a juggler.
Yes. Don't practice. Yeah, get like a butter knife if you're going
to
do that.
Well, actually, did you know if you don't have sharp knives, you're more likely to hurt yourself because the knife slips if it's sharp. Right. So the sharper it is, actually, the less likely you are to hurt yourself.
See, that's why I married her, not just for her knife skills, but also because she's smart. So Kamikoto has several special offers going on right now and is offering our viewers an extra $50 off any purchase with a discount code redacted. So just go to their website, check it out. If you go to kamikoto.com/redacted, you'll get $50 off in addition to their huge Black Friday sale that they've got going on right now. A really fantastic gift if there's a chef in your life who would love something like this. I absolutely love it. So thanks to Kamikoto for supporting the show. Thank you so much.
Those are going to be put to good use tomorrow on a turkey.
That's right. Oh, yes. They're going to be doing some good slicing tomorrow. It is a gift. What a gift, Flycatch Full says. Welcome to the show, everyone. Thank you guys so much for being a part of our great community here. We really appreciate it. As this show has continued to grow, we've passed last month we had over 40 million people tune in to Redacted. So from the bottom of my heart, I just want to say thank you for that. And then, of course, a week ago, we were suspended on YouTube for covering important stories in the news because censorship is still very strong. So we are very active on Rumble. And I want to thank all of our Rumble fans who are watching us right now live on Rumble. We've got thousands of people over on Rumble. So hello to Stick998. This is, and by the way, I should mention, Rumble is a free speech zone. It's a censorship-free platform. So all of you that are watching us on YouTube right now, that's great. Has a massive audience. Please set up your Rumble account, okay? They stand for free speech. They stand for no censorship. Please at least have a backup account. You can do that rumble.com/redacted. Our goal eventually is to be exclusive over there. We would love nothing more than to be on Rumble full time in that way. So right now we're on both platforms in a big, big way. But
you guys, it feels awful to read something, understand that this is not my bias, this is truth, and realize I can't say it to you. Otherwise, I jeopardize our platform. And I'm not trying to ever say anything inflammatory. We are just sharing information that we are digging for ourselves. And it's a crazy world right now. And so we do our best to keep our platform. But, you know, we are super thrilled on the platforms
today
where we're not. Yeah.
The CEO of Rumble announced today on Twitter that they are getting ready to, like, they're going to pay creators more than any other platform, and they're going to start doing it right now. Like, he's on a mission.
Well, hello. Well, we're one of the, yeah, we are one of the, well, first of all, we're the only channel that streams in 4K. We're the only news, independent news channel that streams in 4K. No one else can right now. No one else does. No one else has the server capacity to do it. So, right, that's a big bonus. And we've built the show out to be as good as we possibly can for all of you. And we work very, very hard at that. So, thank you to all of you for supporting us, whether on YouTube or Rumble. And I think we're going to actually start trying to stream live again on Twitter. There's a big push to see about Twitter being a new video platform that can be really long form video platform.
Well, let's get to the last story first before we make that decision. We're going to show you some stuff about who gets to say what on Twitter.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about this story because, guys, we've been warning you for months that this was coming. And now it's finally here. The World Health Organization has written its first draft. The WHO, the World Health Organization, has written its first draft of their pandemic treaty, which would create a new government authority above the authority of your elected leaders, like a super nation, like a supranational, like the Justice League.
Yes.
Right? A super authority. And President Biden has already said that he intends on signing this treaty. And here is the advanced treaty. I've gone through it this morning. Again, you can see where it says an advanced right there in watermark in the middle of the screen. But this is an all-encompassing whole of government, multi-stakeholder, multidisciplinary approach. And this thing is dense. And this is the first draft of it. Now, Mike Adams over at Health Ranger did a really good job pulling out some of the items that caught his attention. He had some that I missed, and then I was able to jump on additional ones that maybe he didn't mention. So anyway, there's a lot of stuff in here, and he did a great job of really going through, pointing for a bunch that really stood out. Number one, I think that stood out to all of us is the idea of the central role superseding American authority, right? So this is messaged throughout this, recognizing the central role of the WHO in pandemic prevention, preparedness, response, and recovery of health systems as directing authority and coordinating authority on international health work and convening and generating scientific evidence, and more generally, fostering multilateral cooperation in global health governance. That's a long mouthful of corporatist speak to basically say we're going to take control. It's going to be central to us and not in Joe Biden's lap. It won't be in Emmanuel Macron's lap. It won't be in Justin Trudeau's lap. It'll be here at the World Health Organization. You are ceding authority to us. And President Biden said he's already going to sign this.
Well, the one part that I, you know, puts my feelers up as an American.
One part?
Well, the sort of like, well, how would America benefit from this is that this recovery of health systems, well, the United States only has private health. There's no national health system unless you're on Medicare or Medicaid. And so how can they recover that system, which is so fragmented and broken? How could that even be possible?
I would love to see. How in the world are they going to? Yeah, that's a good question. How are they going to pull all of this off? You've got the UK system. You've got the United States system.
Well, the UK has a system broken as it is.
Right.
But, you know, the United States does not. So how do you recover a system back to its broken state? I'm curious about that. And, you know, again, this is, I think maybe most people don't choose where they live. They're born into a place and then don't make a lot of decisions. But some people do. Some people choose where they want to live. Whereas Andrew, what's his last name? He says,
Henderson?
Henderson says in his great book, Nomad Capitalist, says go where you're treated best.
Right.
So look at the smorgasbord of countries available to you and say, where do I get the best job? Where do I get the best healthcare? Where do my kids get the best education? Where's my best quality of life? And go there. And this is removing a major piece of our ability as humans to find a place where we can live based on our own values. We would no longer be able to do that.
And Whitney Webb is going to join us in a second here with her thoughts on this, because I talk to her about this, and this is a major piece of this, right? Which is wresting control of our individuality. The idea that we're not going to be able to get in a car and travel to a friend's, you know, a couple hours away.
Yeah.
Because we're creating these city structures now where we won't have individual ownership of cars and automobiles. It will now be a fleet that you will just call up a device and you will be taken because of they don't want you to travel in this way. Carbon footprint tracking, all of this. It's to take away our, it's so they have control and you don't. That's what this is all about. So a couple of the other items in this World Health Organization treaty. Pandemic is a vague term. They talk about that. That's not defined. And of course, vague terms, of course, lead to more control of government. Just think about, this is what stood out to me through reading through this, war on terror. Like, what does that mean? What does the war on terror mean, right? So when you have vague terms like pandemic, what does that exactly mean? We can just throw it, we can call anything a pandemic, mm-hmm. right? So also the word response, like what is the response? What does that mean? What does response mean to a pandemic and what does that mean? Again, these are all vague terms. In the vagary lives the tyranny. Actually, I just coined that phrase. I like that.
Okay.
In the vagary, I already forgot it.
I'm not sure it's as strong as you.
Yeah, maybe it's not as strong as I thought it was. In the vagary lives the tyranny.
It was good in the moment, and then now you're killing it.
Yeah.
Leave it be.
Trademark 2022, redacted.
I want to get a t-shirt like that. In the vagary lives the tyranny. And the word equity is used throughout all of this, too. How many times, many times, without any sort of description of what social equity, what the hell does social equity mean? Right. And which groups? So these certain groups will get vaccines or healthcare over these people. Like, you're going to tell us who gets what first and how things are handed out. That's your social equity. We're also pushing pandemic response products or PRPs. I have no idea what that means. Are they vaccines? Are they masks? Are they all sorts? They're going to have strategic depots, it sounds like, of these strategic pandemic response products in certain spots and ready to go. They also ignore all natural vitamins. This is something that I really like that Mike Adams pointed out, because he writes over at Natural News and they do some great work over at Natural News. So, you know, no natural vitamin talks, mm-hmm. no vitamin D. We know the effects of vitamin D, like just on really helping you to prevent disease. No, nothing about natural preventative care, nothing in there at all. Article 7, it lets them speed up the rollout. This is one that really stood out to me, the experimental drugs piece. No testing, no trials. Like, we can just speed right through this stuff. Yeah, we don't have to wait.
We've done that before.
So now, but now it's being codified. Like, now, no, we don't have to worry about these trials at all. And Article 16 basically sets up a ministry of truth. This is part of what I talked about with Whitney Webb, journalist. She's excellent on this story. So I sat down with Whitney Webb today, just a short time ago, and had a very long discussion about a whole range of topics. Whitney's going to be joining us for a redacted conversation. You don't want to miss it. It's amazing. But we talked for a few minutes quite about this latest pandemic treaty at the World Health Organization. Listen to what she has to say about it. Watch.
And if you look at the World Health Organization and its funding, it's not just from public sectors. One of its biggest, you know, funders is Bill Gates through the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And then you have other sources of income from there as well. And you have ties to Big Pharma, for example. So, you know, if you look at Bill Gates, for example, and a lot of his, philanthropy, it's not really philanthropy, it's impact investing. He openly talks about, for example, his investments in vaccines generate a larger return on investment than anything he's ever invested in his entire life. So does that sound like philanthropy or altruism to you? No. So, you know, he's looking to make money essentially and looking for control. And he has a very specific agenda that a lot of people have pinpointed that's related to reducing, you know, the size of the global population, among other things. So you have that in the mix and a lot of pull from, you know, non-public sector actors on the World Health Organization that are influencing directly the policy there. So, and talking about what we were discussing a moment ago with like transhumanism and basically the new eugenics, if you look at what Big Pharma is getting into now, a lot of it are joint ventures with major Silicon Valley companies. to create new types of medicines. People like Mike Yeadon, for example, have talked a lot, as having sort of an insider view of big pharma, that a lot of the most novel products that they've made and could possibly make are either generics by now or they're already on the market. So they're having an innovation problem, like they're out of products to make money off of. They have to make new conditions in order to make new products to take to market, right? And so they had originally gambled a lot of money on the mRNA stuff, but couldn't even get those into human trials previously because of toxicity issues in animal trials. And of course, COVID removed a lot of the past regulatory hurdles they previously couldn't pass. And so what I think is likely to happen with this World Health Organization stuff, if it goes through, is that you're going to further reduce, basically eliminate the ability of national governments to regulate the types of solutions pushed on countries in a future pandemic by the WHO. It could really be anything. It could be mRNA vaccines. It could also be DNA vaccines, which they tried to pitch in early 2020 and didn't really take off. It could be CRISPR types of injections, which is this DNA editing in vivo that has more money behind it than even the mRNA stuff. There's this whole new area of medicine that they've been trying to get off the ground, but people have been really reluctant to buy into it. And that, you know, that was the case with mRNA stuff before COVID, but now it's been normalized. They've changed the definition of things even to make it qualify as a vaccine. So now they've changed all the words. They want to clamp down on dissent so you can't say anything the WHO is saying is crap, or you can't point out the conflicts of interest. And if you're looking again at where the direction big pharma is going, it's these mergers with Silicon Valley. A great example is a GlaxoSmithKline and Google Health joint venture called Galvani Bioelectronics. The former head of that was the head of Operation Warp Speed, Moncef Salawi. And again, Operation Warp Speed in the U.S. was run by the military, DARPA, and very shady aspects of the deep state, just to lay that out there.
Just laying that out there. Whitney Webb, who I asked earlier today, I said,
that makes me want to follow the money and read the ingredients of Beyond Meat. Like,
oh,
a lot
God.
More.
Yeah. Yeah.
Partnering with Silicon Valley.
So a deep discussion about this and really, really troubling. So, you know, she really connects the dots and does an incredible job. And we should all be concerned about this. You know, this is not, as you know, the term conspiracy theory was born out of the JFK assassination, right? People who were asking questions about that.
Yeah.
I was one of them. You know, I have been for many, many years, right? If you ask that question, you were labeled then a conspiracy theorist. And then, of course, it became a pejorative. Well, so you didn't want to be known as a... Yeah, you didn't want to be known as a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, he's right. David's right. The CIA coined the term conspiracy theorist to delegitimize people who were asking about JFK.
Yeah. So, you're just and now I think it's a, you know, first of all, I love the term because, again, I think it's a way of pointing towards saying, hey, we're asking questions and in 6 months, we're probably going to be right about it.
Yeah.
So you'll label us a conspiracy theorist now. And in 6 months, spoiler alert, what we're talking about is going to come true, but it's already happening. Like all you need to read is their policy papers. You need to see what's happening with the world. It's in their document. It's right here in their pandemic treaty about what's going to happen. So when we have the next big, you know, pandemic, whenever that is right around the corner, these things will be in place and we will have little if no choice because they'll be able to hand it off to the World Health Organization. Unelected people, unelected globalists, elites who control you.
Yeah.
That's at the heart of
this. I don't know. I'm increasingly more comfortable feeling asking these questions. Like, why do we need a single, you know, when especially the story we did yesterday about how Sweden seems to be getting out of this pretty a-okay, getting good grades on their pandemic response compared to other countries. Wouldn't that be a case for autonomous countries?
Yes.
So that people then can choose where is the safest place for my family, where I feel like the government is less scary and authoritative.
Right.
And this is something that could be removed from us globally. Although, again, well, you know, in Brazil, Jair Bolsonaro said, no, we would never do this. Brazil is autonomous, but he may not be in power by the time this document is ratified. You know, there are certain African nations who are saying, no, will that cause a migration into these regions? who knows, right? But it's just something, if you follow this nomadic lifestyle that Andrew Henderson talks about, you feel like more and more choices are being taken from you.
Oh yeah, all the time. And as you become, you know, something that Whitney Webb talks about, she's, you know, as you become really uncomfortable, where you don't have food, you don't have energy, you don't have these things in your life anymore, and then they give you little scraps of things, you're thankful. And then you end up taking them, because when you're beaten down is when you become more compliant, right? Yeah. So you're not going to have the things that you're not going to own anything, right? You're not going to have access to major things anymore. You're not going to have access to land. You're not going to have access to vehicles. You're not going to have access to cash.
Does that mean we wouldn't need a car payment or insurance, because there'd be someone?
Oh, they'll qualified. Probably give you a stipend. It'll be some sort of they're going to keep you on antidepressants, biopharmaceuticals. So the biopharmaceuticals will keep you sedated. They'll make you
sterile.
They'll make sure you have your Netflix and your alcohol, and they'll just keep you in this like sedated mode. So you're like a bunch of sheep. Like, that's literally what we're getting to.
Like, suddenly every post-apocalyptic movie seems valid.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it's...
Well, and that's why they don't want, you know, misinformation, disinformation. We're not smart enough to get truth. So they want to control that as much as possible so that we can just stay dumb and they can tell us exactly all we need to know. And we can just live our happy, you know, injected lives of whatever they want to give us. Eat bugs and... Just yeah. Shut up.
Well, like someone in our chat says Dr. Mengele stuff. Crypto says Dr. Mengele stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Like the movie WALL-E, where they're all just like floating around with their screens with that
giant big gulps.
Yeah. And like just drinking their unhealthy food and like in a little zone, and that's A-OK.
They do not want us to be healthy. If they did, they would, you know, come and tell us about seed oils. They would absolutely make a point to not, you know, all of the corn subsidies and everything that we're putting in our car, like biodiesel, like all of this garbage, all of the way that the food pyramid is constructed. If they really cared about our health, it wouldn't look at all the way it looks right now.
Jennifer and I were just talking about this the other day, how the Amish have it figured out, you know, aside from the religion thing, which I have issues with, but like for as a community, they have it figured out. They live in little communities and the communities take care of each other. They eat locally. They eat the stuff that they grow in that certain area. They all get together every Sunday and have what's called a haystack dinner. And they're just very communal, and they eat fresh, good food. And it's not, you know, what we're getting. And it's like, that's what we should be doing. We should be living in little communities, but we've just become so far from our community that now we're eating crap food, fast food, because it's cheap, and we're not connected to our food at all. We're not connected to I'm not even connected to my neighbor across the street, you know. And it's like, that to me is like, it's sad. It's a sad state, but like, I wish we could get back to that kind of communal living.
Yeah,
I agree with you. Absolutely. Let us know your thoughts on this in the chat. Let us know where you're joining us from on this Wednesday. We've got more news to get to. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Established Titles. Now, I just got a super chat here from this is Lord. Who sent this?
Hans Wolf.
Oh, Hans Wolf. Yes. Lord Hans Wolf just sent this. He is now a lord. "'Tis your peasant laird updating that I have secured me a tiny lot of Scottish redacted village. I also purchased a much larger plot for both me and my children, who are now officially lords and ladies. So you can join our redacted community. We're going to have a little party there in July. My goal is to get us all together in July on our land in Scotland that you can get by going to establishedtitles.com/redacted10. When you go to that URL is how you'll get an additional 10% off. It's already cheap. It's a very fun gift to give to somebody in your life. And what happens when you get this plot of land through Established Titles, you get access to this proclamation. Where's my proclamation?
Where art thou, proclamation?
Here's my proclamation. Where I get my proclamation, you can become a lord or a lady right now through the link on the screen.
Time out. Aren't you supposed to say hear ye before a proclamation?
Oh yeah, hear.
That's law.
Yeah.
To all the lords and ladies in the land.
Hear ye, hear ye. So Hans Wolf, he bought a plot for his kids as well. So what they do is they, you know, it's like 1 square foot of land and you can get more of it in this one section of Eddleston, Scotland. You get a unique plot number where you can see your exact location of land with a latitude and longitude. They will plant a tree with every order. Now, not on your land. They'll plant it through the charity One Tree Planted, or global charities like One Tree Planted and Trees for the Future. It's a great last minute gift. They'll send you the proclamation in the mail and you can frame it. And it's great for a man cave. It's great for the woman cave as well. Lord or lady, when you buy a plot of land with established titles, your land will be right next to mine. And the first 200 people that from our audience, we're building a redacted kingdom in this one section. It's just a lot of fun. It's just fun. If you're one of the first 200 people to do it, your land will literally be right next to ours. So again, in July, we're going to go there. And depending on how many of us become lords or ladies, we're going to do like a barbecue or something there. See how far out in the wilderness it is. Maybe I'm getting in. Maybe I'm getting in over my.
I hope you didn't get eaten by a wild boar on your way out.
We're gonna go stag hunting. We'll go stag hunting out there.
Anyway, although we did watch the first season of Outlander, so you know what to do.
Yeah, that's true.
Or if you find
just don't go near the runestones.
Any like rock formations, don't put your hands on it because I won't be able to find you in the 1800s.
I might meet my 1600s wife. her name is Veronica, and she's a simple lady. She's a simple lard. Anyway, it makes an amazing last minute gift. Go to establishedtitles.com/redacted10 to get your gifts now and help support the channel. Get 10% off. So our thanks to them for supporting what we do and supporting independent journalism here. We wouldn't be able to do this without our sponsors on this show. We have a big team. We have servers that we pay for. Where is our server? It's like in California somewhere, right?
Our server's in San Jose.
San Jose, California.
The ping's Portugal.
So we have two servers. We had to buy extra servers to put this show on to be able to stream in 4K and everything. So thank you for supporting our show and what we do here. I really appreciate it. All right. Should we talk a little bit about Twitter? Because I don't know if you know this, but Elon Musk bought Twitter. I don't know if you heard that news a couple weeks ago.
I'm on that one. Thanks.
So Elon Musk bought Twitter. His whole goal, of course, was to make it a free speech platform, a town hall, a community where he was going to open source the code. He was going to reveal what was been going on this platform, and he wanted to make it the place where everyone would have a chance to speak. Obviously, given the laws, you're still not going to say things that are, you know, going to get that would could put somebody in prison, etc. But that was his intention, it seemed.
Unless you're Chrissy Teigen. She actually told people on Twitter.
Or Alex Jones, which we'll, I guess, talk about in a little bit.
Right. She actually, during the riot, said, go out and get in legal trouble and I will help pay for your defense. That actually is someone
inciting
violence. Right. You can do that if you are her.
There's been a bunch of Antifa people that did as well during, you know, some of the
violence. Some violence is okay.
So Kyle,
but violence from who is the question that we're asking?
Yeah, exactly. Like what is okay violence, I guess, for these platforms?
Who can say violent things?
So here's Kyle Becker earlier today. He asked yesterday, Elon if Elon Musk were actually the right wing boogeyman, these spoiled lefto journalists pretend he is, and he decided to turn the tables and ban all left wing fake news from Twitter, there would be nothing left for them to publish. It's a funny take, right? Like if Elon Musk just flipped the tables and suddenly he just banned all of the misinformation that's coming out of, like, hey, the Associated Press. Remember that story last week where they told us that Russia fired missiles into Poland? Remember that almost got us into World War III?
No one was, I mean, they didn't get taken off of Twitter for that.
They didn't get taken off Twitter for that. There's still all sorts of COVID-related information up there from left-wing news organizations that's just patently false. But, you know, they didn't take that down over the lifespan of Twitter. Now, remember, Elon Musk just got it put in charge here about 2 weeks ago. So that was a funny thing from Kyle. Now, Elon Musk responded to Kyle's tweet and said this: as is obvious to all but the media, there is not one permanent ban on even the most far left account spouting utter lies. So he's gone through the code. He's gone through the accounts. He's had his team look at this. And there's not one far left wing Twitter account that's been banned, news organization or otherwise, for spouting lies on Twitter. Zero. And Dinesh D'Souza asked that question. Dinesh D'Souza, who's a conservative who used to work in the Reagan administration, of course, a filmmaker now. I've interviewed him a number of times. It's usually around conservative films that he's been putting out. He did the 2000 Mules movie. I think he was banned. I think he wasn't allowed to publish anything about 2000 Mules on Twitter, Dinesh D'Souza. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. But here is Dinesh asking Elon this question. We don't hear much about Democrats and leftists being let back on Twitter. Why? He says, because they were never kicked off in the first place. Their lies and misinformation simply escaped all scrutiny. Censorship has deployed as a one-way operation against conservatives, Elon. And Elon wrote back, correct.
Okay. I mean, the first response is, you knew it? But to see it in black and white, it is crazy that only one side of a conversation is being punished and not another.
Yeah.
That does not make it a conversation.
Yeah.
I just sent you a tweet that came out from just a little bit ago from Eric Weinstein asking if they can get an audit for how much the manipulators controlled, distorted the world's online conversations by throttling bots, shadow banning, banning, etc., and general dirty tricks for years. This question isn't going away. The graph below, and he shows a graph, and then Elon responds, it has been really bad. Far left San Francisco Berkeley views have been propagated to the world via Twitter. I'm sure this comes as no surprise to anyone watching closely. Twitter is moving rapidly to establish an even playing field. No more thumb on the scale. Oh, you got that. Yeah.
Wow.
So he's admitting that things that they find as unfavorable are being throttled.
Right.
Through, through what channels does he say, especially throttling bots? Oh, shadow banning. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to do with, because when I hear throttle, I think it's ISP related, but that doesn't seem to be the case.
So Elon also tweeted out something that he found in a closet at Twitter HQ, Twitter headquarters. They were going through, I love that this was, this is like the hidden treasure, like buried in the walls at, so today, Stay Woke, the hashtag Stay Woke was trending, and you wonder why it was trending. It was because of what Elon found in the closets at Twitter HQ.
At the merch thing, and there's an entire closet full of
secret closet
of hashtag woke t-shirts.
Hashtag stay woke. Hashtag stay woke t-shirts and hoodies that you can get
Which
at the Twitter headquarters.
Worn by poor children and
you're gonna see
countries.
That he posted later then.
No,
what? Stay at work. Oh.
Stay at work. I like that. Yeah, you're right about that. You're gonna see those sweatshirts floating. Like you're gonna see the like videos of kids like in Uganda, where like we send all of our like recycling materials and all of like the shirts and stuff that you know break apart and get recycled. You're gonna see all these kids walking around like you know in Africa wearing Stay Woke shirts.
Yeah.
Not because they care what they're just because they need a shirt.
I feel like the word has been turned into a pejorative now that nobody would want that shirt. Maybe you would want it in the middle of 2020 when it meant to support race riots. But I don't know now if anybody would want that shirt.
Yeah, I think it was like, you know, it was born out of the 70s, but yeah, then it was, you know, co-opted. So it was like...
But in modern context.
In modern context, it means, yeah, support looting and burning of buildings, basically.
Well, I think now it means mindless support of it's blue MAGA, you know, mindless support of a cause.
Yeah, it's mindless support of an ideology.
Right.
Yeah.
Without critical thinking is how I think of it right now. I'm not sure that everybody feels that way, but I would be surprised if someone said to me, yes, I am woke. I feel good about that.
Yeah. So you have this Jack Dorsey thing in here as well.
Yeah. I mean, we remind you how Twitter had been punishing people. This is from October of 2020, when the New York Post Twitter account was pulled down for publishing news about Hunter Biden, specifically the laptop story, and Twitter flagged it and said it violated their terms of service for distributing hacked materials, which is interesting, and they did not let them back onto their own Twitter account until they pulled that story back down, and they punished other people who were sharing it. And, you know, this is only, this is the most egregious, I think, but only one of many narratives that we could point out who's been harmed for saying what,
right,
or doing what, or even a lot of times, you know, I'm afraid to even interact with certain tweets that I agree with, but I feel like if I put a heart on this, this puts a target on my back. And so I'm going to, you know, and it's scary.
So, in our Rumble chat here, D. Crocker Jr. says domestic terrorist Adam Kinzinger made terroristic threats against a Twitter user. Yeah, that happened. Also, we had Wyatt Reed on the show. Wyatt Reed, independent journalist, who was in Donbass when his hotel was bombed by the Ukrainian army. And if he had been there a minute earlier, he would have been killed. And he tweeted about the attack on the hotel, and a Democratic member of Congress, or I think she was running for Congress from Illinois, or Illinois, I believe, tweeted, "Oh, I wish you would have been there a minute earlier."
Yes, that is
what?
Wishing somebody bodily harm.
Right. Then she deleted the tweet. But no, nothing came of that tweet from that Democrat at all. Nothing. She wasn't deplatformed. If a conservative had said that, ooh, look out.
Yeah.
Take,
I mean, I saw a Twitter bio today. This woman said that she was politically homeless because she doesn't have a party. She feels like, you know, and so
a political party,
yeah, right. Yeah. Maybe she has lots of parties.
Yeah. Myers. Yeah.
Okay. And I was thinking, yeah, I feel aligned in that way. I don't feel any, you know, alignment mm-hmm. towards any one party. And so where do I fall on this? Because I feel like I'm caught in the crosshairs that I don't want to behave any which way on social media. And that becomes, that's a spiral of silence.
Yeah, it's really, really sad. Let us know your thoughts on this in the chat below. We have a daily newsletter we'd love for you to subscribe to. It's redacted.inc. If you go to the website, you just put in your email there, redacted.inc. is not .com, it's .inc. We had about 1,000 of you sign up yesterday, so welcome to all of our new email subscribers. Again, it's redacted.inc right there on your screen. Grab our free newsletter. And when you put in your email address, you'll receive a welcome email. You have to verify your email address. Please, you have to go to your junk folder or spam. I think Google has labeled us dangerous. Literally, Gmail. If you're a Gmail user, they've labeled us dangerous. Okay, because we tell the truth. So go to your spam folder, try to find us, and then drag us over to your inbox. You'll get an email from me. It's clayton@redacted.inc is the email. So just look out for my email. And then just verify your email. Just click on verify. And then Monday through Friday, you'll receive the newsletter first thing in the morning. But as we mentioned, tomorrow and Friday, we're taking 2 days off because we are tired. We need a little break. We've been working very hard. And she's not feeling well. She's getting sick.
So I don't know.
She's got a sore throat and she started coughing this afternoon, so she's not feeling well. And so we're going to take 2 days off to be with the family and just spend some time with the kids and make some turkey. And
I'm going to stay up late watching The Crown, you guys.
Yeah, we're going to watch The Crown. We're going to, I don't know.
So Clayton and I have been trying to work our way through The Crown, and I fall asleep halfway through every single time. And he's like, "Didn't you see that with this part?" I'm like,
I love history. So,
season are you guys in?
We're in the most recent season.
The current season, yeah.
Okay, because did it throw you for a loop, like when they all of a sudden switched characters when they went to the later year?
A little, like, but they warned us.
I was so into Claire being... Yeah, but I didn't get that warning. I never saw that. I was so into Claire as the queen, and then all of a sudden it was somebody different. It took me a while to... Because it was almost like they had to reestablish the characters to me.
Yeah.
The woman who's playing her now.
We were following all the news because we were up on like following the news on Twitter all the time about this show. So we were all over this. So we knew that they were like, she's going to be taking over for her. We were following that. Yeah.
Yeah. The woman who's playing her now is Imelda Staunton, who in my house is known as Dolores Umbridge
from Harry Potter.
And I was like, I can't like that actress. There's not going to be any way that I like Umbridge. And she's fabulous. I adore her. But also my mother really used to buy tabloid magazines to see what Princess Di was wearing. And then she would sort of emulate her with her wardrobe. And so many of those outfits my mom had, something very similar. So this is Diana in her heyday And I just want to look at it. I don't even care what she's... I just want to look at her.
Well, I love it from the historic, because I was a history major, so I like history period shows, you know, from a time period. So I like that side of it, you know. I'm fascinated about that stuff. Also, the palace intrigue and the intelligence state, like the deep state intelligence community.
Yes,
like,
yes.
What is MI6 doing? Are they spying on her and all of
and
that
And then
stuff.
The dirty tricks of all the journalists that go around her. So, yeah, there's a lot there for us. This is one of the shows we can agree on.
And if you're somebody that's into film and stuff, like, it's just beautifully shot, it's beautifully acted, like, it's just every aspect of that show is just very well done.
Yeah, someone in the chat says, what is The Crown? Where is it? It's on Netflix. It's a Netflix show from like 5 years ago now. And so anyway,
it is in season 5.
And also, I'm trying to catch up on Unsolved Mysteries. I love Unsolved Mysteries, you know, the show from the 80s. So they've Netflix now has the Unsolved Mysteries show. They're back with their newest season of that. So I've been going through that slowly. So when she falls asleep, I put that on until I can fall asleep. So we're going to catch up on
Forensic
some stuff.
Files. That's another good
yeah.
One.
Yeah. So let's do some super chats here. We'll get you out of here for your Thanksgiving. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Moo Moo. You know, right now, it's really crappy in the markets. The markets are total crap. Things are up, things are down. But you can get some good stocks right now for free. 15 free stocks just for opening an account. So you open your account by going to redacted.inc/moomoo. You have to use that link. And then you're going to get up to 15 free stocks valued at $30,000. They also have a $10 bonus right now for their 10-year anniversary. So when you open the account, you'll get that. And when you make your initial deposit, then you're entered in to get the additional stocks as well. So you have to go through that process. They're a fantastic trading platform. They're a $6 billion company, 18 million users. This is the platform that I use when I'm buying different mineral stocks, if I'm investing in different gold producers or silver producers or uranium producers, etc. I'm doing that right through Moomoo. So very clean, very easy to use. I use it on my Mac. You can use it on a Windows PC. You can use it on your Android device, your iPhone, wherever. The apps are clean and easy to use. Anyway, get some free stocks. You don't have to really do anything other than make your initial deposit. And then it's like having an extra savings account. Let those stocks grow in value. Don't even touch them if you don't want to do anything with them right now. And then sell them. Then you've got free cash. So you can't miss with that. So try them out. Redacted.inc/moomoo. Thanks to our friends and happy 10-year anniversary to this company, which is 18 million users around the world. So thank you to them for supporting the show. All right, let's take a look at some, gonna get my proclamation out of here. Let's take some super chats and some rumbles, some rumble rants. I'm gonna grab my
so
rumble
we don't have
screen.
Any rumble rants that I saw.
No rumble rants?
But we do have some super chats. Nope, no rumble rants.
I'm checking on my...
David Riggs, hello from Aberdeen, Washington State. Y'all do amazing job. Thank you. Happy Turkey Day.
Happy Turkey Day to you.
Red Pill Fight Club on Rumble. I do have one. Thank you, Red Pill Fight Club. Not sure what you meant by Blue MAGA, suggesting that MAGA is a cult like wokists. Discuss on my stream, 6 p.m. Eastern Saturday. Blue MAGA. Not sure what you meant by Blue MAGA. I will discuss on my... Oh, do you want to discuss it on my stream, 6 p.m. Eastern Saturday?
He's offering to discuss Blue MAGA.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a new term for me. I heard it recently and I was like, oh, I get it. You don't even have to really explain
it. What does it mean?
Blue MAGA is the people who just blindly accept Democratic policies without critically thinking them through and are just as sort of impassionate about them.
Impassionate
as, just as passionate about them as Red MAGA. It's, you know, Red MAGA, people love Trump. They don't tend to see his faults. They see his, what he offers them or promises more. And when presented with certain, you know, negative data about Trump, they don't necessarily either consider it or consider it worse or want to debate it.
Like when Trump said, if I could walk out on Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody in the face and my supporters wouldn't care.
And
I
MAGA
somebody.
Is like, yeah, that's fine because of these things. Right. And
okay.
So Blue MAGA is people who don't realize that they are actually behaving in the same way on the other side.
I've heard Blue MAGA. I don't know if it was Ben Shapiro that said it or there was somebody. There's a couple of like conservative commentators I've heard say it recently. So, yeah, I get it now. Okay. All right.
Tom, also, why is Jean-Pierre always attacking the African reporters? It must be the second or third time I have seen her do this. She even got one banned and deplatformed.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know this.
Oh, yeah. She kicked one of them out. Like, yeah, kicked a reporter out from Africa for asking tough questions. Like, sorry. Apparently, it's only the Africans and Peter Doocy that can ask tough questions. Like, and they're kept in the back of the room, and then they don't get called on.
Tinsel Tint. No, that's not what the name, but I'm not going to read the name. Please shout out the COVID documentary Died Suddenly on Rumble, YouTube, and Twitter. And I do want to watch this documentary. I've seen a lot of people talking about it.
I have too.
And I'm going to watch that this weekend on Rumble. Yeah.
Ooh, and is that Linda, holiday?
Awesome show once again.
Yeah, gather up the family and watch Died Suddenly. No, I saw a bunch of people saying they've watched it and it's just haunted them all day. Like, it's just been that haunting. So yeah. I think we're watching It's a Wonderful Life
and then that and then Miracle on 34th Street.
You're going to need a palate cleanser, I am sure.
We will all need to watch that.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, really sad.
Well, ending with Elf, so.
Okay.
It's a Wonderful Life, the documentary, Miracle on 34th Street, Elf. Then I'm going to bed.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Is that it? That's our scene.
Sound good? That's it.
Okay. Well, again, I remind you, we won't be here tomorrow. We will be celebrating Thanksgiving with our family. And Friday is normally our day off. And there also will not be newsletters just for Thursday and Friday of this week. We're taking a mental break.
Oh, man.
And we will be back at it on Monday, fresh and better than ever. Thank you for your subscriptions. Please hit that like button. Please share this with your friends. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you next week, everybody.
And I'm going to hang out in the comments here on, YouTube for a little while here. If you guys want to hang out in the comments with me, just leave some comments in our live stream here. I don't know. Can you do that on Rumble? Can you hang out in the comments after the live stream on Rumble? Because I would love to do both.
I think for a little bit, but it ends on YouTube pretty quickly too. Like, it'll give you a problem.
No, I don't mean the chat.
And then it'll end.
I mean the comments. Like, so the comments under the video, the comments, not the chat.
Yeah. Those stay. Yep.
That will stay. Okay. All right. So jump over to the comments section on YouTube and Rumble. I'm going to hang out there for a little bit. So I'll hang out there on Rumble and on YouTube. All right. Bye, everyone.
It's not a school night.
It's not a school night. I get to stay up. I get to stay up.
Bye, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
Lord Clayton.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.